Amen. So we have a PowerPoint that's on its way. It'll catch us probably about halfway through. But if you have your papers, my job is to talk about raising up leaders. And so I asked dear Derek, God bless him, I said, should we bring in Solid Rock to this? And he said, just speak on raising up leaders. I said, okay, I will do that. Amen. So appreciate him and the prayer for Haiti. We have three ministers out of our church presently right now. One is in Ukraine, right in the midst of it. He just got there probably Tuesday, a couple of days ago. We have one that's in Dominican. He'll be in Haiti this week. And we have another one that works in the Philippines. And we're very thankful that we love missions, love church work. Amen. And appreciate the opportunity. However, I had the great privilege of doing after lunch. I mean, man, after that lunch, wasn't that good? They served us so well. I'm telling you, they did a great job. Thank you. Yeah, they're doing so good here. And so I'm not going to try to keep you awake, but we will endeavor to look at raising up leaders. Thank you, Brother Gilbert. Good job this morning. Appreciate that. And then Casey Carey, we bring him into our church whenever he answers our emails and our phone calls. We bring him into our church because he's such a sanguine. They don't live life like the rest of us. But that just touched me so deeply today. He's a fire starter, and the fires that he starts there keep on going after he leaves. He's got so much energy and the Holy Spirit. That lane is just so beautiful. So appreciate that very, very much. And I actually enjoyed the business meeting today. I've been distant from a lot of the leadership of the IMA and kind of going a different direction in my life. But it's always good to be here. Kurt, you just did so good. You got that hot fire from just coming back, and that matters. And then this is Rick Roble. He has not heard. I used to be his pastor, still am in some ways. He said he hasn't heard me for over 40 years, okay? Yeah, last time I saw him, I was laying hands on him, and he got slayed in the spirit, and just amazing. We had such a move of God back in the day, and I don't think we need to get back to that, but we just really need to stay with that. It's going to be a little different context. And my wife and I are both out of the Jesus People movement. We both got saved in that back in the 70s, and that's still... if you haven't watched that Jesus Revolution, that messed me up. I was in that van. I drove those cars. I've been to those places. I went to California in 73. It just, oh my goodness, it messed me up so bad. I told my wife, I got to go to bed. I've never said that in 40 some years of marriage. It's just, it messed with my head. It was like reliving my past. It just, if you haven't had a chance to watch that, a little bit intense, but life was a little bit intense back there. But, man, how they brought people to Jesus. So we trust that the Lord will continue to do that. Let's say a prayer. I'll try to be short with our deliberation today. Father, thank you for the men and women, people who are here. We ask the Holy Spirit, Lord, to just quicken our hearts, our minds. That portion that's needed, Lord, we thank you so much. We have been fed so good physically and spiritually here today. But, Lord, we thank you that you always have more room, more time, more space and energy and Holy Spirit and Word to put within us. And we pray that you would do that today in Jesus' name. Amen. So we have a number of people in our church that are with us today. And I would like you, if you would just stand and say your name and maybe what you do. I thought maybe better than trying to talk to you about leaders, we would just bring, I think we have half a dozen of them, 8, 9, 10 of them here. So just would you stand up and, yeah, wake him up too. Okay. Go ahead, Julie. Great. USA.
Trustee and elder, and I'm an elder, and
It's true. We have five designated offices, and he's number six. So, go ahead. Yep. Very good. And way in the back. Very good. Amen. And then our son Jim is around here someplace, but give him a good hand. Amen. And yeah. And Katie. Yeah. So raising up leaders. And so if you look at our outline, it just came to me this way. Lead, LEAD, to look, to exhort, to appoint, and to dedicate. Okay? Now, if you go in your Bibles, and Larry's going to come and read for us, I hope that you're not so spirit-filled that you don't take time to read the scriptures in your church. Okay? I heard a left-wing guy on the radio the other day, left-wing, just way, way out there. And that guy read like 60-some scriptures. I saluted him. It's like, thank you that you haven't left the Bible. And thank you that you take time in your church to at least read the scriptures.
Amen. The attendance of public reading. Okay, if you look in your outline, we're going to turn to page 2, and I'm going to read the scriptures here from Numbers 11 and the Romans, and then we'll go back to the first page and read from the book of Acts. Alrighty. Wow. Good lunch. Thank you. Reading from Numbers 11, 23 through 29. And the Lord said to Moses, "Has the Lord's arm been shortened? Now you shall see whether what I say will happen to you or not." So Moses went out and told the people the words of the Lord. And he gathered the 70 men of the elders of the people and placed them around the tabernacle. Can't you just picture that? It's a beautiful picture. Then the Lord came down in the cloud and spoke to him and took of the spirit that was upon him and placed the same upon the 70 elders. And it happened when the spirit rested upon them that they prophesied, although they never did so again. But two men had remained in the camp. The name of the one was Eldad, and the name of the other Medad. And the Spirit rested upon them. Now they were among those listed, but who had not gone out to the tabernacle, yet they prophesied in the camp. And a young man ran and told Moses, and said, "Eldad and Medad are prophesying in the camp." So Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, one of the choice men, answered and said, "Moses, my lord, forbid them." Then Moses said to him, "Are you zealous for my sake? Oh, that all the Lord's people were prophets, and that the Lord would put his spirit upon them." Amen. Okay, Romans 12, 3 through 8. "For I say through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, So we, being many, are one body in Christ and individual members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches, in teaching. He who exhorts, in exhortation. He who gives, with liberality. He who leads, with diligence. He who shows mercy, with cheerfulness." And then if you go to page 1 of your outline and read from Acts 14. They returned to Lystra. I guess this is Paul and Barnabas. "And they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith and saying, 'We must through many tribulations enter the kingdom of God.' So when they had appointed elders in every church and prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord in whom they had believed." God bless the reading of his word and our pastor.
Amen. Thank you. So just a couple of lessons you can learn from those readings. One is in the first reading. the people who weren't even at the tabernacle where the presence of God was were prophesying, and it just, they were very unlikely people is the point there. There's some very unlikely people that will be in your churches that God will raise up, and you need to take a double look, and that's what our first point is to look. If you go to chapter 6 and verse number 3, I think it is, or 4, 3, it says, "Brothers, look out from among you seven men who are known to be full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom," right? So we need to be looking. We need to be looking for people all of the time that God lays his hand on. Here's the truth. God's Holy Spirit has been working through the Holy Spirit since the day of Pentecost. Always, every day. I appreciate what he talked about, the move of God. He's always at work. God is always at work, and he's always raising up people. He's always touching people. He's always putting gifts in people and bringing them. So our job is not to make that happen. I can't call somebody to the ministry. I can't make somebody who isn't. We had a guy in our area. He was a pastor, and he used to go to people who were very gifted, and they were like salesmen and all of this, and he'd get them converted, and he'd make them into pastors. To my knowledge, not one of them made it, because God doesn't work by physical gifts or by sales representatives to get his gospel out. He works through his Holy Spirit, and that's the only way it works, and we can't help him out. I had one guy come to say to me, "Let's write all of the people down in our church and all of the gifts. Let's put them into the computer. Let's let the computer talk to us about when we have a need. All we have to say is prophecy, and it'll come up." And it's like, where is the Holy Spirit then? We don't need him. I mean, if we can spreadsheet our way into the kingdom, let's not even take time to look up leaders. No, God doesn't do it that way. He does it individually. He does it personally. And he does it in his own way, in his own time. God doesn't work on our time frame. We have to work on his time frame. It only works that way, and it always works that way. So what is our job? We need to be looking. God, where are you? And in fact, usually on a Sunday morning, when you're gathered together or in some other group, the Holy Spirit is going to lay his hand on somebody. This still happens to me every single Sunday. If I'm speaking a word, I'll have a PowerPoint presentation that will be of a song or something. It'll be exactly what I'm studying. Or somebody will come up to me and they'll just start talking about exactly what my message is. And that happens to me just about every Sunday. It's just amazing. God confirms his word. He is speaking, and he'll use other people in his body to confirm that. What is my job? I need to be looking. I need to be. And sometimes what happens to us is what happens to the guy in Mark chapter 8, where Jesus comes up. He didn't have any eyes, apparently not any eyeballs, and Jesus prayed for him. You remember the guy at Bethsaida? And he touched his eyes, and he says, "Buddy, look out there." He says, "What do you see?" What did he see? "I see men as trees walking." Jesus is like, "Okay, you don't have it, right?" He said, "We're going to try this again. Don't be afraid to try this again." How many times do you find in the Bible where it says, "And Jesus told them again, and Jesus taught them again"? It's you just, when you go through your Bible, see how many times he said that. He said it over and over and over and over again, because we don't get it, okay? And so he gives those opportunities, and when we see people and they're just like trees walking, we have a problem, because we're not seeing like God sees. We see them as human beings see things. And there's not a lot of value in a tree. There's some value in a tree, but not like what's in human beings. You have to have double eyes. So Jesus came and he touched him again. And he says, "Buddy, what do you see now?" And he's like, "I see all men clearly." He says, "You got it." We can't just look through our fleshly eyes, our physical eyes, our educated eyes, our talented eyes, our skillful eyes. We have to see by the power of the Holy Spirit. We have to be, God has to help us see beyond people's faults, needs, hang-ups, problems, issues, homo, Right, what you're talking about this morning. You have to be able to see past that, and you have to see the good and the potential and God at work in people. I've had it happen so many times to me where I'm talking to somebody. I had this happen not real long ago, and I'm talking to somebody about God and Jesus. If I was a betting man, I would say, this guy hates my guts. He does not want to hear anything that I have to say. And we're like two morons standing here meaning nothing. And the guy, he'll say, I want that. And it's like, you cannot go by the outside. You cannot judge things in your own mind through your own psyche, your own unfiltered ways of seeing things. You have to have that second touch of Jesus on your eyes so that you see men clearly. Yes? We have to have that. So we're to look out. Now notice in this passage, this is in the 14th chapter of the book of Acts. This is where Paul was at Iconia and Lystra and Antioch, one of the Antioch places there. And he was there, and he had brought many, many people to the Lord. If you go back a couple of verses, you'll find that Paul was stoned there, and that in the process of time, they brought all of these people to the Lord, and then they went back and they ministered to them and helped them. Okay, so it's very, very important that we understand something. So this is one of two things I would like you to remember today. One is that we must see the church as a body of Christ. I want to say it again. Say it with me. We must see the church as the body of Christ. That is the one central figure, illustration that God gives us in the Bible that best describes how he works with people, right? The eyes, the ears, the nose, the mouth, the different hands, feet, heart, all the different parts that we have on the body, all the different bone structures, all of that. And that's how God works. That's his ways. That, to me, that's not real intelligent. That's not real deeply thought. But you know what? I can't look at it that way. I have to say, God, you are brilliant. You are wiser than I will ever be. I'm going to get that second eye wash, and I'm going to look at this your way. You are brilliant in how you do it. Amen? So he wants to work with people as a body. So not only do we need to look out of our eyes, it says there in Acts, for those that are among you, filled with the Holy Spirit, there's wisdom. There's two or three things that are in that particular place where you need to look for people who would serve. Now, these were people would serve tables. Give me a break. We'd get beer belly bobbing, bar drinking, booze Bob to come. It doesn't matter who. Oh, for God's table, it does matter. You do need to be full of the Holy Spirit. You do need to have something going on up there. Amen? So when we look at what God says, we need to make sure that people have not only potential or not only some giftings, but they have some desire. Are you looking for some desire? Are you listening for some desire? 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 says, if a man desires a spiritual office, the office of a bishop, it says there, but spiritual things, he desires a good gift. He's not proud. He's not cocky. He desires what God wants him. So you have to be looking for that and listening for that. If you don't have a want to inside of you, you're not going to go very far. But if somebody's got some desire there and they have some want to, they will be unstoppable when you as a leader and a pastor connect with the gifts that God has placed within you to help that person not only go from babyhood to young manhood to adulthood to fathership, as we heard this morning, but you also release them to be who God has called them to be by the Holy Spirit. You can come alongside of them. So it's very important, and that's exactly what Paul did. Now, when they went there, their first idea wasn't to look for the high slickers, the people who had a lot of gifts and talents like we talked about, but they just simply ministered to the body of Jesus Christ. My job, my primary job, is to look, to listen, to see how God sees, and then help people, minister to people, wherever, whatever their needs are, you meet people right where they're at. They're not going to come to where you are. You have to go to where they are. what they're about. And so a lot of times pastors are able to do a lot of different things. They're able to talk to a lot of different kind of people. God puts gifts into people to be able to reach. And then he gives you favor. Amen? And pray for the favor of God. I was in Israel a couple of years ago. And while I was there, I was with like 3 or 4 or 5 Jewish evangelists, okay? Now, we're there on a trip, and as we are going from place to place, God just gives me this extraordinary favor while I'm in Israel. And I had one guy at the Dead Sea. He waved at me like this, called me over, and he says, "Hey, I just want to talk to you a little bit." Never saw him before. And the next day he calls me over and he says, "I want to talk to you a little more. I'm having trouble at home." This guy's a Jewish guy, and I can't even tell these Jewish evangelists what's going on. Here God is touching these people. And I prayed before I went. I prayed and I fasted. God, I want favor. I want you to show up. While it was, a guy came up. He asked me something in Hebrew. I figured he was asking what time it was. I said 7:30, and we ended up at the door at the same time. He says, "Do you speak English?" I said, "Yeah." And he said, "Well, we're from New York." And he said, "We're both Jewish people, and my wife is just seeking after the Lord." And he says, "What do you do?" I said, "Well, I teach Old Testament." And he looks at his wife and he says, "I think he's the one." And so I can't even tell these other people that are going on. And here these people are looking for Jesus. And he says, "Is it okay if my wife asks Jewish, not Christian people, seeking after Jesus, comes up to me and asks me something in Hebrew? I answer in English." I ended up talking with them, getting my picture with them. I could just go on and on. The point is, we need God's favor to be able to build God's church. Amen? So the favor of the Lord. Ask God for the favor, and God will give you favor. We have favor in our church. We have so much favor with our law enforcement in our city. They've come to our church. We've had our sheriff there, I don't know how many times, police chief, prayed over them, laid hands on them. They come to our men's breakfast sometimes. It's just amazing. God gave us favor. Way back in the day, I remember I was sleeping, I woke up, Jesus is standing there, and he's holding a key like this. It's a huge key, and he's giving it to me. It's like, what does that mean? You know, I had no idea. It's the key that God gave us. And there was a time in our high school, there was a church in our area, they had people, and they were reaching out to the people in our public high school, and I was also doing a Bible study there every noon. Once a week I would meet with the kids. The school administration kicked out every single pastor, nothing to do with the schools. They banished them from the place. I kept going with my Bible study. They never asked me a question. It's God's favor. And when you have God's favor, you can make a difference, and you can see the potential in people, and you can bring them to where they need to go. Amen? So pray for God's favor. So in this particular passage, they take time and they work and they minister. In these words that are here, exhort, appoint, and so forth, they are there, and so I use them right out of this text. The second thing you see is to exhort. Now, exhort means different things to different people. It also means feel different things in the original language, and I have them listed here. The first one, they exhorted the people. They talked to them. Sometimes it means to come alongside and help. We heard a little bit about that. Sometimes has a problem, you just stand with them. You don't know what to do. You don't know what to say. And some things are really awkward. When you get into marriage issues. So recently a guy came and they were on vacation, and they were going to get a divorce, okay? And he called me up, and they're, you know, this is supposed to be a fun thing. And so he called me up the other day, and just a real, real problem in their family. And so I'm working through it, I'm listening through it, and I'm trying to help them to, it's like I'm just going to park next to them, I'm just going to listen to their problems. He called me back like 2 days ago. And so I see who's on the phone, and it's like, do I want to take this phone call right now? Punch the button, okay. Hey, And he says, and so I'm braced, okay, I'm braced, okay, now I'm going to tune into the Holy Spirit here. I'm going to, okay, I got to try. He's like, oh, I got good news. Okay, is this coming before the next thing? And so he says, no, he says, I got to tell you, we're good now. And okay, we're good, tell me about it. He said, my wife and I, we love each other, we're so good, we're so happy, we're back together. And I'm like, okay, when's the shoe going to drop here? And so I kind of hesitating. He says, yeah, you're still there? I said, yeah, I'm still there. I said, good. I said, well, good. Praise God. That's really good. I'm so thankful to hear that. And I rejoice with you. Shoe going to drop? It never dropped. They got better. You know why they got better? Because I just stood alongside of them. I didn't have brilliant words of wisdom. You can help them. You can give words of wisdom. I'm not putting that down. But I'm saying sometimes somebody needs just somebody to stand with them. That's why you need to touch people. Amen. A lady that's just started coming to our church, I'm a toucher. I touch people. I touch things. I've been in trouble my whole life. I'm telling you. I just, that's who I am. Like Casey, I touch people, okay? And so a touch from a person means so much. And we have a lady in our church, and I go to shake her hand. She says, I don't touch people. I'm like, okay, that's right. I go the next week, I go to touch. I don't touch people. I don't do that. It's like, yeah, okay. I'm just really sorry. And I do this all the time. Now I have to avoid her because I touch people, okay? But just a touch from somebody can go so far. Sometimes they don't need a word of wisdom. They just need, it's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. God bless you. A touch is affirming. Amen? Appropriate touch I'm talking about, obviously. So when we are speaking about exhorting and caring for the people, one thing is to come alongside and help. The next one is to encourage people in their faith. Sometimes you need to listen. I've worked this. There's people in this room right now that I've had to listen to for a long, long time. And once I've listened to their heart, and it takes a while, sometimes it takes hours to listen to a person's heart, then you have earned the right to speak into their lives. Sometimes people need to be heard before they need to be spoken to, right? You just really need to hear their heart. And I encourage people to do that. I encourage parents to do that with your children. Listen to them. Hear them. Let the bad stuff come out. They said that who's the guy that is on TV all the time? He has all those old-time singers on. Bill Gaither. Thank you. Bill Gaither. And I know a guy who worked with him very closely. They wrote songs together. He just passed away. Aaron Wilbur. Some of you might have known him. Anyway, he says that when we got together to make these songs, he says usually bad stuff comes out of us. He said our songs are terrible. Our tunes are terrible. They're just horrible to listen to. He said you could never even imagine it. But he says once we get that out, then the good starts happening. Sometimes you need to let people get that stuff out and out of them. And once it's out of them, you can tune in and you can listen to something good. And then again, you've earned the respect to be able to speak in to their situations. Exhort also means, thirdly, it means to stimulate them. It means to encourage them to do something with what they have. It means to be like a cheerleader. My goodness. It means like, fourthly, the Hebrew word means CaseyCarey.com, okay? My goodness. I'm wore out when I'm done listening to him, and I am so encouraged. I'm telling you, and sometimes we look at it as our Casey Carey. He's a household word, and he's in our staff meetings very, very often because he's Casey Carey, and he's a fire starter, right? That is an exhorter, and sometimes we need to exhort people. Like he was exhorting today, honestly, I wrote for Gilbert, I got a good quarter page of notes, good solid notes. I don't have anything down from Casey Carey, nothing, not one word. But I got something, right? It's the wind of the Spirit that just comes off him because his heart is so passionate for the Lord. Sometimes exhort needs to do that. Sometimes we need to be in people's, hey, you can do this. Come on, you're doing so good. Brag on people. Talk good about any good thing that's there. When you talk to people and you don't know them, you look around. And pastors are good at this. You look around till you find something good, and then you praise it. And you know what? We all like that. We all like to have the attention. We all know we have something good in it, but nobody ever sees it. Yes, you need to not only see it, you need to be the champion on the sideline saying, come on, you can catch this pass. Come on, you can get that ball down the field. Come on, you can make this, right? Touchdown, basket, soccer, kick it in. You can do it. Especially with young people and children, that's true. And so they exhorted the body in that way. Thirdly, they appointed people. And there's some other things in your notes that you can pick up here. I'm just going to do the highlights. They appointed people. The word appoint is right there in the scripture. And he's talking about spiritual leaders. Our job is to raise up spiritual leaders, yes? Is that our job? Yeah, it's one of them. So we want to be able to do that. So how do we do that? Just like they did it right here. They appointed them. This is kind of weird what I'm going to tell you. But if you look at the original Greek here, you will find that it actually means it's kind of the democracy where you make a vote and you help somebody come in. Our church is not that much of a democracy. We do have some voting. We do have some people. A portion of our church and leadership comes from the body. We have others that we appoint to leadership and others that we just ask them, would you mind just watching over the parking lot today? Hey, could you just come down? We have a need right now. One of the gals can't do Sunday school. Can you just cover it? Right? It happens like that, and that's okay for it to happen that way. But in the process of that, there has to be some way. So people say, you know, should we be a congregational church? Yes. Should you be a pastoral, strong leader? Yes. Should you be a Lutheran-type church? Yes. Should you have some order? You know, the best people who are still saved are still Catholics because they got some order. No amens. It's okay. It's true. It's true. Yeah. So we need to recognize those things. They say, hey, are you a word church? Yes. You a Baptist church? Yes. We baptize. We use the Bible. You can ask any question that you want to, anytime you want to, about anything that we do. When Mona gets charged by the Holy Spirit and does a lap around, you can ask us. It's okay. I'm going to tell you, I don't know either. But you have to give people permission to ask. Ask questions. And you need to say that every once in a while. Hey, if something happens in church you don't understand, feel free to ask us what's going on. Feel free to ask us. Amen? That's a healthy thing to do. You want to be a healthy church. That's the second thing. We must be healthy churches. One of the assistants and myself that we were called to go help a guy in his church, and he said they were having leadership problem, and he says the way our constitution says is that it's the majority of the leaders that will make a decision. And he says, so I had them together, and he said, so I'm the pastor. He says, that's one vote. And he said, but I'm also a deacon. And he said, that's another vote. And he said, I outvoted him. I said, what? Does that sound healthy? And I'm telling you the truth. This church is not that far from here. And he's like, yeah. I said, no, you can't do that. You can't, that's not even in realm of sane, let alone church stuff. Right? And so we have to ask people, do you want to be healthy? And in essence, sometimes people say, no, we don't want to be healthy. I'm not picking on anybody, please. 375-pound Bob that has heart trouble, eats every wrong thing that he's supposed to eat, and it's like the doctor says, hey, would you? No. I was with a family member on a trip, and he had some physical issues. I said, hey, pull into this restaurant, he said, and I said, I know how to order off the menu. I know how to get you better. I know how you can eat some food. I'll help you order it, and I'm telling you, you'll feel better. And he says, no. He says, I don't work that way. He says, I just eat whatever I want, do whatever I want. And he says, I just go to my doctor, and I just have him prescribe something for me, and he says, I'm okay. I'm like, seriously? You have to understand something. Some people do not want to be healthy. They don't want to be, okay? Don't spend a lot of time on people that don't want to get better. John chapter 5, Jesus comes up to the guy. He's been there for how many years? 38 years. Jesus says, dude, do you want to get better? He says, well, every time I come up here and I'm trying to get into where the angel comes, and he just, do you ever have people like that? It's like you ask them a question, like they just start spouting off. And Jesus is like, dude, do you want to get better? Do you want to get healed? Question, do you want to get better? Do you want your ministry to be better? Do you want to be healed in your marriage? Do you want to be delivered from something, or do you want to just keep it? Do you want to get better? Right? Yes, I want to get better. You want to be around people who want to get healed and healthy. So part of the appointing process is we must be around people. And I'm telling you, if you're around sick people, if you know anything about history in the Philippines, you'll know that Father Damien, who went into the leprous colony and went and converted all of those people who were lepers, one of the things that happened to lepers is they lose feelings in their hands and feet. That's one of the first signs that they have before they're going to die. They lose feelings. And so here's Father Damien. He's converted a whole group, and that it's still there in the Philippines, that island, and where he's reached out to people. And he got so sick he couldn't feel, and he knew he himself were dying. If you are around sick people and sick-thinking people and people who don't want to get better, you will get sick too. Right? So you have to, like, you got to be like the guy with his eyes. I still don't see it. Jesus, I need another touch. And he will touch you and he will help you, I'm telling you. So we need to appoint people, especially now we're talking teachers and leaders and administrative people and leaders such as that, and they need to be ordained. That means it needs to be a public, for the most part. There's some people that just don't like to do public. And we have a few people in our church that just, no, you're not going to pray over us. We'll pray here. So what do? I just say, okay, like you three guys, come, let's pray for sister here. She's going to be working in the Sunday school. She doesn't like going. But we're going to have some kind of a way where we charge them. Sometimes it might be right in front of people. It's best to do it that way, where you appoint them and you say, now this person. In our particular church, nobody does anything, at least very long, unless they meet with our elders. And we pray over them, we bless them. So when somebody's doing something in our church, or they come in, maybe they've been there a while, we say, we have an intent to membership. We're not doing a membership class right now, but when we do, you're going to sign this paper and you're going to be in. Sometimes we do them a couple of times a year, sometimes it's a couple of years in between. It depends, but we make a way for people to be able to function in their gifts, but we also want them always to go through the leadership of the church. Sit down, we talk with them, we pray for them. A lot of times there's personal words and things like that, but they must be appointed to their office just like they were. This is the only place that I know of in the scriptures where Paul takes the time and he shows us how to set up a church from nothing to something. The final thing, it says that they commended in the scriptures there, which really means they dedicated them to the Lord. Verse 23 says they commended them to the Lord, which means to place beside, to stand, to set, to commit to another's care. And we need to do that and committing them to the Lord. Ultimately, as church leaders, they are not accountable to us. They are accountable to the Lord, right? And so Paul, those guys were leaving, and so they committed them to the Lord. Yeah, they need to be under leadership. They need to be under church authority. I get all of that. Yes, and that's true. However, what you really want somebody to do is learn how to connect with God and do what God's called them to do. Yes? Yeah, that's really what we want to do. So we can like over pastor or we can under pastor sometimes, and we need to find that sweet spot in the Holy Spirit where we keep people and we keep them moving on. In our church, one time, this is when I first got there, we needed a copy machine. And I found this beautiful copy machine, and we're going to do it. And I went to our elders, and our elders, they said, no, you can't get one. I said, what? What does this matter to you? I mean, seriously. And I got a good deal on it. I talked to the people, and they said no. And it's like, man, I was crushed. I was mad. I just was hurt. I just was like, so here's what I did. I said, okay, you guys, you ain't going to tell me what to do anymore about buying stuff. I'm going to give you and Dale, does not all of our elders have a bottle of oil? They do. Elders, there was one guy, he came at this church and he said, I got this one guy, he doesn't know what to do. He's always wanting to pray. He's always butting into my business. I said, get him a bottle of oil, bring him before the church, and tell him to go to every person's house in your congregation and go pray for him, lay hands on him, get him doing something. Yes? Amen. Absolutely right. So I got the spiritual guys overdoing the spiritual thing, and they're happy. And guys who are doing the physical things, the administrative things, they work in the business. They understand what's going on. Not that some of the elders don't, because most of our elders have served in that capacity. But what I'm saying is you need to put the right people in the right place to do their calling from God, or they're going to frustrate you and everybody else in the process. What does that mean? Second touch of the eyes. Lord, where is this person going to serve best? Right? And we don't want to use the Peter principle, which means to out-promote somebody from what they're good at doing. Let them serve. Some of you remember Branson. No, what was his name in San Antonio, Philip? Branham. No, the guy who always greeted at Revival Temple. Yeah. As far as I know, every time I went to Revival Temple since I was a kid to growing up, always him and his wife greeted people at the door. An angel came to him and told him, he says, what's his name? Oh, he says, I'm taking you home. He says, I'm taking you home. You're doing a good job. And I almost think he said something like, you're needed in heaven to do greeting or something. I don't remember how, but something like that. But that guy was anointed by God and his wife to greet people. They were the best ones I've ever seen. God saw it, knew it. He was so respectful of the guy. He says, I'm coming to get you. And he said, I'm going to get two angels, and they're going to come to take you home before too long. Well, God's long and our long. I thought, well, it's this afternoon or something. It was a couple of years. But God took this guy home. But perpetually, God's hand was upon them to greet. Do you think that that's important? Walmart used to think so. And the way it's going now, Walmart will probably start thinking that way again if they keep going on the trek that they're on right now, which is a good one. And so that is not only good management, good people skills, it's God's way and it's God's gift and it's an expression of the Lord. I had a guy on Wednesday night at a Bible study. I don't know if he knows the Lord yet or not, but he's been Bible study. People say, do you have unsaved people in your church? I hope I do. Do you? I hope that I do. And some people say, well, that person isn't saved. Yeah, but they're around saved people. Guess what's going to happen to them in the process of time? You get people around God and around God's people, and pretty soon, come on, right? So we have to see and understand that. So he's telling me all about this invention, and I told him he makes these things, and you guys will see it before too long because 3M just is approving it right now. And he says, hey, you want to see? I said, man, I want to see it. Show it to me. He brings me this bag. Of course, I forget about it. He says, do you want to see it? Want to see what? my invention? Oh, yeah, I do. So he's taking this, he's showing me all these inventions, and he said, I'm so thankful. I said, you got a gift, buddy. God has given you a gift. You're a good steward of that gift. God gave that to you. You know what? He'll either leave or he'll become a Christian pretty soon. Can I hear an amen? Why? Because I'm looking and I'm listening. I'm exhorting and I'm encouraging. I'm appointing and anointing, and not just me. I'm saying all of us are. We think this way. And then we want to dedicate them to the Lord. We want to say, all right, now you're here, you're working under us, but we want to get like Branson or whatever his name is, something like that. Branham, something like that. Branham? Yeah. I think so too. We have a conversation going on. That's all right with everybody, right? We're one of them kind. They say, is your church one of them kind? I say, yeah, we are. Yeah, we are. Well, I don't want to get to spoke. So here's the weird thing. I want to challenge you with this. I had a pastor of the IMA, this district, come up and tell me this. He said, people today want the Holy Spirit. They're desirous of the Holy Spirit. But if you tell them about speaking in tongues, you'll scare them away. That's not too far from the truth. However, we are Spirit-filled people, and we need to be getting the Spirit into people. We might need a different strategy or a different way, but part of our job is to bring people into the fullness of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what Paul said, 11:29 of Romans. When I come to you, Paul said, I don't know how other people are going to come to you, but when I come to you, I'm coming in the fullness of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's our job. It's before us. It's a tough job, but guess what? It still works. God is always working in every congregation, all of the time. Our job is to tune in. Our job is to see. If we don't see right, okay, God, take me back to the woodshed. Touch my eyes again. Let's go through this thing one more time. Let's see. Ah, yeah, I see people. Yep, I see all things clearly. Thank you, Lord. Can you say amen? You can raise up leaders. One more time, I'm going to ask all of our leaders who are here, stand up from our church. And this is just a portion. And I encourage you during, if these guys are still here, if you have any questions about them, if I hear something at Philip's church and he's telling them, I don't go to Philip and ask him, where'd you go? There you are. I go to my brother and I say, what's going on in your church right now? Because you know what? He's the guy that really, if it's true and it's going to happen, the fruit's going to be right there. You can ask anybody here any question you want to about anything you want to, spiritually, church-wise, leadership-wise, and these men and ladies would be glad to help you. Amen? God bless you today.